One of the pastors here at Highway Church, and I would love to meet you after the service, just to get to know who you are if you have time. And just want to say Merry Christmas, and we love you, and it's great to be together. Just want to share for a few moments on O Holy Night. The worship team led us in a beautiful rendition of this famous song. Probably my most favorite Christmas hymn of all time. And I'm sure for many of us here, you would agree. Its tone that leads us to worship is unparalleled. But did you know the unique history that led to the writing of this song, and that it almost was thrown into the dustbin of history? It was in the mid-1840s in France. A priest in a small village went to the commissioner of wines to ask him to write a poem for Christmas Eve. Now, this commissioner, Placide Capot, was not known as a church-going man, but he was known as a good poet. He was honored at the request and decided to give it a try. He reflected on the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the poem while he was riding in a stagecoach to Paris. When he finished, he looked at it and said, "This is good. It needs to be put to music." So he went to a friend, Adolphe Charles Adams, who was a well-known composer, a member of the Paris Conservatory, and he asked him to set his poem to music. Adolphe Adams was also Jewish and did not celebrate the birth of Jesus, but felt the words of the poem deserved an appropriate musical accompaniment. On Christmas Eve, 1847, the song was performed at a little village church, and it debuted to rave reviews. The people in that little church were deeply moved by the song, and before long it spread to other churches all over France. It's a great song because it's very worshipful and explains so clearly the meaning of the birth of Jesus. But when the church hierarchy found out that the man who wrote the words was a socialist and the man who wrote the music was Jewish, they banned the song from being sung in any church in France. In fact, they said it was unfit for church service because of its lack of musical taste and total absence of the spirit of religion. True. Meanwhile, over in America, there was a pastor in Massachusetts named John Sullivan Dwight, who was a graduate of Harvard Divinity School, and he had some problems. He had agoraphobia, which is a fear of crowds. He was afraid to leave his house. And then he also suffered from panic disorders, and sometimes he would have panic attacks even while he was preaching. So finally he had to step down from the pulpit and find something else to do. So he started a music magazine called Dwight's Journal of Music. He would find new music and publish it in his magazine. Well, one day he came across this Christmas song from Europe that was still in French. He asked someone to translate it for him, and he was mesmerized by the lyrics. He loved how it told the story of Christmas, and he especially liked how it talked about the breaking of chains and the freeing of slaves, because this was right before the Civil War, and Sullivan Dwight was an ardent abolitionist. So, this broken man, who published in a magazine because he had to step down from being a pastor, took this song written by two outsiders, a song that had been cast out by the church. He took this song that talks about the hope for the broken and freedom for the oppressed, and he translated it into English and introduced it to America. And now, O Holy Night is one of the most dearly loved Christmas hymns of all time. But that's not the end of the story. In 1906, Christmas Eve, a 33-year-old Canadian university professor and inventor named Reginald Fessenden did something most of the world thought impossible. using a new type of generator, this professor, who had worked earlier with Thomas Edison, spoke into a microphone, and for the first time in history, a man's voice was broadcast over the airwaves. Shocked radio operators and ships and wireless operators at newspaper offices jumped up with excitement. They were used to hearing coded bleeps over tiny telegraph speakers, but all of a sudden they heard a clear, deep voice speaking these words. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Professor Fessenden went on to read the entire chapter from the Gospel of Luke. He probably had no idea of the uproar he was causing, because all over the world, men and women were rushing to wireless units to hear what many thought was a Christmas miracle. They believed they were hearing the voice of an angel. And when the professor finished reading, he picked up his violin and played a beautiful Christmas melody. And on that night, Christmas Eve, O Holy Night became the first song that ever went around the world over the airwaves. And from that time on, people all around the world would have a new way to listen to music. When I think of the story of O Holy Night, I think of a story that's about outsiders, outcasts, and broken people. And come to think of it, isn't that what Christmas is all about? Picture in your mind that traditional nativity scene. If you can see the nativity under the altar here, and some of you probably have a creche in your own home, or you grew up with a familiar nativity scene. And in every creche, you will find the same figures. You'll have Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus lying in the manger. You've got the shepherds with their shepherd's crooks holding their sheep. And then you've got the wise men. Now, I've got to let you know, if you haven't figured it out, the wise men weren't at the manger. But for tradition's sake, they are today. The wise men with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now keep this picture in your mind and think about this. God has a thing for broken people. Think about Mary and Joseph. Mary was pregnant before she was married. And yes, we know now, we understand, we know the backstory of how the announcement was made that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit and she would give birth to the Christ child. But to everyone in her village in Nazareth, and when she traveled anywhere, all she would be known is that teenage girl who had a baby out of wedlock. And then think about Mary and Joseph having to travel to Bethlehem on that first Christmas night, having been oppressed by the Roman Empire. You see, all of Israel, all of Judea was under Rome's thumb. The Romans had come in as a brutal conquering force and taken over their land. And now the emperor decided everyone had to go back to their hometown to get registered to pay taxes. Sound familiar? So Joseph puts Mary on the back of a donkey, says tradition, and they travel together about 80 to 100 miles through rocky desert terrain, sleeping in the outdoors under the sky, sleeping on the ground. And Mary's 9 months pregnant, due at any moment. When they finally get to Bethlehem, nobody will take them in. Mary and Joseph were oppressed. Oppressed people were at the manger. And then you've got the shepherds. The shepherds were outcasts. Polite society looked down on them. They were dirty and filthy. They were suspected of being thieves and robbers, and some of them probably were. Their testimony wasn't permitted in a court of law because no one could trust them. Shepherds were outcasts. Outcasts were at the manger. And then you have the wise men, or as we like to call them, the magi. Now, there was probably more than three that came, but for our sake this morning, being that they brought three gifts, let's consider the three magi that came. They were from another land, spoke another language. They had another culture. They were dressed in strange clothes. They didn't look like anybody else. They were outsiders. So here you have it. Outsiders at the manger. So, who's at the manger? Outcasts, the oppressed, the outsiders, the poor, the hurting, people who are broken. And maybe that's where some of you may feel right now. Maybe you feel oppressed by the problems that you feel you're under their thumb. Depression, anxiety, chronic illness. Maybe you've lost a job and you're dreading Christmas because you don't have the resources to celebrate the way you want to. Maybe you've lost a loved one and you're dreading Christmas because there's going to be one empty chair at the table. Maybe you feel like an outcast because of a relationship that's falling apart. Maybe you feel like an outsider because everybody else is looking forward to a time with family and you don't have a family, or at least your family is dysfunctional and you just can't wait to leave once you get there. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus' very first sermon. It's recorded in Luke chapter 4. And we read, Luke tells us, when Jesus came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scripture. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked to him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Advent is all about preparation, anticipation. It's all about anticipating the coming of Jesus. But I have good news for us today. Jesus has come. He has come for the outcasts, the discouraged, those who have little to no money, the lonely. He has come for the broken because God has a thing for broken people. And folk, his mission has not changed. This has always been his mission. In fact, look at the manger one more time. Look at what Jesus has already done, and he's only a baby. He's turning the world upside down. Dirty, smelly shepherds are being serenaded by angels. Wise men from the east with a strange culture and language are being welcomed to the throne. An unwed pregnant teenager becomes the mother of God. You see, God has a thing for broken people, and he has a thing for you. Oppressed, cast out, an outsider. And guess what? You get to come to the manger. You get to come into the presence of Jesus because God has a thing for broken people. Now, I want you to think for a moment who's not at the manger. King Herod's not there. He's sitting in his huge palace, surrounded by wealth, counting his money, thinking about how rich he is. Caesar Augustus isn't there. He's back in Rome looking over his armies, planning his next conquest and thinking how powerful he is. The religious leaders aren't there. They're in Jerusalem doing their religious thing, arguing over religious doctrine and talking about how good they are. The rich, the powerful, the religious, they're not there. It's not that God doesn't love them. He does. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. You see, it's just that they're not interested. And maybe some of that's you today. Or maybe you're just too busy to be bothered, but yet you were able to carve enough time to come to a service to sing some songs, and maybe it was out of tradition, maybe it was to appease a mom or a dad or another friend, but you came, but you've just been too busy and too taken with other things to care about the baby. But I want you to know something this morning, that every single person in this room shares the same condition. We are just as broken as everybody else. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, we are all broken men and women. And once we realize this, the sooner we embrace our brokenness, the sooner we can come to the manger and experience the unconditional love of God. Because God has a thing for broken people. John, one of Jesus' favorite disciples, would write later on in his facing his own death, in 1 John 4:1, this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. He has come. He has come to heal. He's come to comfort. He's come to strengthen. He's come to guide you. He's come to walk beside you. He has come to save you. He has come to love you with an unbounded, unlimited, unconditional love. The work has been done. It is finished. And now you know what? He gives us all an invitation to come just as we are, just as broken as we feel, just as empty as we are with nothing. He calls us to come. Come to me, Jesus said, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Or to put it as one paraphrase says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together and we have sung some beautiful songs. We've heard some wondrous poetry and stories for kids. We've smiled. We've worshiped. We've heard a message now. And Father, I pray today for every mom and dad that's here, every boy and girl, every young person, every grandma and grandpa. Lord, we come to honor you today, our Lord and God. But Lord, there may be some of us who are here because, well, they don't know why they're here. And if you're here this morning and that describes you, and maybe on the outside you've been singing, but inside you've been going through a very, very dark season, and you feel as if you are broken, I want you to know that this word, this Christmas, this baby, this Savior is for you. He came for you, and he invites you to come just as you are. Whatever your burden, whatever your need, whatever your concern, whatever your brokenness, he calls you to come. Dawned on me as I was preparing this that those who wrote that song, O Holy Night, they didn't even know Jesus. And it reminded me that you can sing the songs but not know the Savior. And today, he's reaching out to you. And he's saying, come. Come. You don't have to live life on your own anymore. Come. While there is time, now is the day of salvation. Come and receive forgiveness. Come and receive wholeness. Come and receive life that is in Jesus. With every head bowed, I would like everyone to pray along with me and all those who are watching via the internet. Today, Lord, I pray for my friends that they would know you. with everyone praying, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. I turn to you. I bring you my brokenness. I bring you my life. I bring you my sin. I acknowledge you as my Savior. Come into my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me new life. Thank you for helping me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The worship team is going to come and lead us in one more anthem.